and gentlemen, how does the song go? I love you so much. Come on.
This is what I'm trying to say, is they never stop playing this song. DJs, I'm pleading with you. Robin is sick of the song. Robin said that she can't get away from the damn song. Stop playing it, DJs. Stop playing it. I'm pleading with you, stop playing with it. I know I'm not going to make any friends with DJs who do include this song in their set, but I am telling you, DJs, please. Stop playing Show Me Love, because it makes me feel like I paid too much to get into wherever I am. I sweat my balls off all through the 90s and paid my dues to that song in every single nightclub in New York City. And it was a good song, and it lasted a long time. It really had its run. Let it go. Let it go. I know that DJs love this song, but I'm telling you, DJs, you are the only one who loves that song. And occasionally me when I'm in an off mood. But I don't want to hear this song. Why do DJs love to play that goddamn song?
Why do you gotta play the song?
Why do you gotta play it?
Go on and wish that Brad Pitt would come along. But I prefer Madonna in a lacy thong. And I'm a lesbian. I don't like nothing swinging between their legs.
Hi, you are listening to show number 59 of the Lesbian Mafia. And I'm your host, Sandy. Hi, how are you? Hi, I would just like to let you know that I had taped an entire program. Yeah, it was maybe about 40, 45 minutes. And to be quite honest, I have no idea what I talked about in that show, but I do know that the entire show was clipped. I think that's the right term. I don't know the right term, and I won't try to really learn it either, because I don't want to know. And that happened because I don't wear a headset. If I had been wearing a headset, I would have heard that the sound was too loud and distorted. And I've done this before. I've lost shows before because I refuse to wear a headset. I can't wear a headset. I don't want to. I don't feel like it. I don't care that my life is already difficult, and then I make it even more difficult for myself. Why do I do that? Why do I make my life more difficult? Why? Sometimes I just feel like every day gets harder. Now I'm coughing and dying. What would happen if I died while doing a podcast? Who would post it? You know? I don't know what I'm saying. I had Chinese food tonight. I don't know. Sometimes they make it so greasy and then it's too filling. And, you know, if you put it in the refrigerator and then things start getting hard and white, like the grease and stuff, you know, like you don't see that when it's hot and melty. So that means that you're swallowing it and I'm going to die. God's trying to kill me. How is it that Oprah has a cook and she's still 200-300 pounds? How is that? I don't know. I don't care about her. I don't care about anybody. I have a clock with a French, it's like French scenery in the background. I would like to go to France. I would. Where they outlaw burkas. Some teenagers, they love Eminem, you know, and they get mad at me for talking about Eminem. What can I do? I can't please you cannot please everyone all the time. So what can I say? You like Eminem? Listen to him, you know? What do you want me to do? I'm not trying to make you, you know, like, you want to listen? Listen, don't, if you don't. What do you want from me? You like Eminem? Listen to Eminem while he calls you a whore and a hoe. I don't care. Think I care? I won't get into that. I don't have that kind of time. I drink club soda. I don't know what you drink. I don't know what I'm saying. I had, like, soup. The soup is really good. It was, like, a seafood soup. It was very good, you know. I didn't feel like cooking. I don't like to cook. It's summer. I don't want to cook. I don't ever want to cook again. I want to cook, like, I want a cook in the house. That's what I want. Sometimes I wish I was born someone else. Or that I was somebody else's children. Like, why couldn't I be Chelsea? No, I wouldn't want to be Barack's kids. No, I wouldn't. Or at least be Palin's lover. And I would say to her, I would say sometimes, you know, when we would be sitting out on the patio overlooking the water in our backyard, you know, because we'd be living on the water somewhere, you know, when the sun was setting and we'd be, I don't know, maybe having a glass of Chianti or a Pinot or maybe a Riesling or a Chardonnay, something, you know, something that goes down easy and doesn't really knock you off your feet, you know, something nice and light. And I would say to her while we were speaking to each other, sitting out on the patio and she was in a bikini, I would say, Palin. No, I wouldn't call her Palin. I would call her Sarah. I would say, Sarah, honey, you know, when you do that thing that you do with that rifle, when you hold that rifle and then you start shooting it at things, living things that move, you know, that I don't think I'm so okay with that. And I've been thinking about it and I'm getting depressed. And that makes me very sad when you do that. And she would say, honey, I don't ever want to see you upset. You are the most important person in the world to me. And I would say, am I? And she would say, enough. It is enough to give up the hunting. I won't ever do it again. And I would say, well, thank you, because it's been very depressing for me. I've been very down. And it hurts me when you do that. It's like you're shooting me every time you shoot an animal. And she would say, you know, I don't want to see you like that, because you mean everything to me. You know, without you, I don't even think I could go on. She would say that to me. And then we would have like a romantic moment. You know, I would take a last little gulp of wine and then we would have like a romantic moment. Because I think that she is a romantic. I think I can see through that wild mane of hair and that sexy body. I mean, 5 kids, no stomach. Come on. Really gorgeous. Come on. Listen, my type, totally. Really, very much. And I like that she's tough. And let me tell you something. The more the media beats up on her and everybody beats up on her, the more wildly sexually attracted I am to her. Would I vote for her? I don't know. That's another story entirely. However, I can have my fantasies. A woman can have her fantasies. She turns me on with those glasses and those suits and that hourglass figure and those shoes, and love those outfits she wears. All right, that's enough.
There once was a time when all gay meant was happy. Then it meant homosexual. Now people are saying that's so gay to mean dumb and stupid, which is pretty insulting to gay people, and we don't mean the happy people. So please, knock it off. Go to thinkbeforeyouspeak.com.
Hi, Sandy. This is Alice from Texas. I probably sound like shit right now because I'm sick and I'm actually on my way to work. I stayed up till 4 last night catching up on the last year podcast. I just found out about you this past week and I'm absolutely in love. I don't really identify sexually, like, at all. Like, I'm interested sexually, but, like, straight, bi, whatever. I'm just kind of impulsive. I do what I want. So I guess that makes me confused bisexual. But, one of your guests, who I love all of your friends who call. I love you guys just as much as I love Sandy. Without you guys, it'd be Sandy going crazy every day, reading into her bag, and occasionally crying about Twilight, rest in peace. But you know what? I love Sandy, but I love you guys too. But I remember your guest on your last podcast that black parents don't play. And coming from a girl who's not really out, I remember in middle school, this guy, actually, he's gay. He wrote on my binder that gays would inherit the world. At this time, I was straight. You know, I was talking about guys to my mom. Me and my mom kind of had like an iffy relationship because I was hitting puberty, and it was like having two women in the house who didn't really get along in the first place. So it was really like, it was a very violent relationship. Like, that's when me and my mom's relationship started getting really tense and like violent, and it was just crazy. And so she read this on my binder, and she thought I wrote it. And she literally tried to burn me. So that goes to show you that black parents really don't play. I don't know if it's a Southern thing, even though my mom was born in California. But, yeah, she got a lighter and she tried to burn me to make me feel, so I could know what hell feels like. Like, you know, how crazy is that? So, like, all you lesbians and gays and transsexuals who are going through a lot of shit, you're not alone. Even the straight community gets shit for even being suspected of being gay, or being lesbian, or being, you know, queer. So I'm all for your rights. I'm all for that. I'd probably really need to get off this phone because I'm on my way to work and I'm late because, like I said, I stayed up till 4 in the morning listening to you guys. But I just wanted to know that I love you guys. I love the show. I support it. And as soon as I get my paycheck, I'm getting me a lesbian fucking Waffy t-shirt and I'm wearing it to my next family reunion. So take that, you know? All right. Thank you, guys.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.
You can hear me crunching?
Oh my god, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay, it's better than my lip smacking.
I could eat a whole meal and you won't know what I'm eating.
What do you think? Oh. I just don't say anything because it doesn't bother me.
If I really didn't want you to know that I was eating, you wouldn't know. Because I could mute in between.
You slick thing, you.
Yeah, like, if I need to pee, I'll mute it.
Oh, yeah, I do that, too.
Like, I'll set the person up with a question and go, hey! And then while they're answering, I'm peeing with the mute on.
Yeah, and then you think you're slick, but when you take the finger off the mute button, you flush the toilet bowl. So I know what you did.
No, you don't know that I took two dumps while we were on the phone. No, that's too messy because, you know, not that it's mad, not that I shit all over the wall or anything. That's disgusting.
You're really disgusting right now.
I tried
Why?
To... That poor little birdie, he just looked at me and he didn't do anything. But he did watch me drive off because I looked at him in the mirror, you know, while I was driving off in my rear view. And he turned his head to watch me drive off. But I guess that's all he could move was his head. I gave him water and bread and he wouldn't touch it. He's going to die tonight. He's going to die.
He's not going to die. He's just in shock. I mean, would you eat if you're in shock?
What is he in shock of? He's dying.
The way you talk, it's very funny. So I don't want to be insensitive and laugh.
Don't laugh at a dying bird.
Stop. A little dramatic.
He's out. When they put themselves out on the street like that and they can't move, you know, something happened to them. They're sick. You know, they're desperate. They want someone, you know, when they... do that, it's because they need help. They do that on purpose. But there's nothing I could do for him.
Throw themselves in traffic?
And yeah.
In the street?
Huh?
In the street?
Yeah.
Maybe something happened. You don't know.
I tried to talk to him, but he, you know, he didn't answer me.
Honestly, though, I don't like watching animals suffer. It upsets me.
Well, narcissists have a problem feeling. They have to go out of their way to try to have feelings for other beings.
What are you trying to say? I feel...
Some of us don't have to try that hard.
Well...
But you should be mindful, because maybe... Or you just don't have that feeling for animals as much, maybe.
What are you talking about?
You don't have any feelings for nothing.
That's not true.
You don't love that little bird. You don't love the bird.
I guess because, I don't know.
Because you just don't love the bird.
I'm not in it.
What?
If I was to see it myself, I would do the same thing. I did that with the cat. I have to see it and feel it myself.
Well, that's how it is for narcissists. Is they have to manipulate themselves to have feelings. You know?
I'm not manipulating. You're a jerk. How are you concocting today?
How was your vacation? What do you want to talk about? You went to the Bahamas, one of the most gay-hating islands in the Caribbean next to Jamaica. That's okay. When I went to the Bahamas, they were picketing and protesting our being there because it was a gay cruise. I don't want to say it was violent, but it was a very scary protest that they had to our crews showing up on their island. Mm-hmm. I didn't even get off.
And they're more strict or like hateful towards the men than the women.
They don't like the men or the women.
Right, but they're a little bit more tolerant with the women because I sense that. I sense that, and I've even spoken to a couple of people.
What, like locals?
Yeah, the locals who work there. And you'd be surprised how many are curious. But when it comes to men, when it came to gay men, they were disgusted. It was interesting just seeing how they were. And
And I feel like that's how it is here, too. A lot of people, oh, yeah, two women, you know, oh, it's nice, two pretty women, you know. But then all of a sudden when it comes to talking about gay men, it's like they get so disgusted by it.
Yeah, well, because the two women, it's easier to sexualize us and just demean us into sexual objects. So that's probably how they deal with it, is by just turning you into an object, sexual object. With the men, they, you know, they don't have any, probably don't have any interest in that. So all they can think about is probably the political aspect, how it, how they feel threatened by it. But with women, you know, if they can reduce you into a sexual being, then it's not so threatening.
And the men there, they're so, like, everywhere you walk, hey, like, they try to get with you, call you out, you know?
Oh, like, they feel like they feel entitled to your attention?
Yeah. Hey there, you know. You know, it wasn't that bad on the streets, but I walked home from the Atlantis by myself one night, and it was, like, a 10-minute walk, and I was scared. And one car came beside me, and he's like, come in, come in. That's what they do.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I was like, I thought of you, you know, because you're like, be careful, you know.
Yeah.
If I was with someone, I would have felt a little safer. They tell you, come in, come in. And then they show you, like, they were like, we got stuff, we got stuff. We have weed, we have whatever you want, come in. And then I was like, the fuck out of here, I'm come in. Come in, I mouth off, and then I run away.
I'm saying, what are they, bang bus? You know that?
It's a bang bus.
Bang bus is those, like, people where they pull over in the street and they offer girls money to come in the bus, in their van.
But the thing is, if they're a little bit smart there, they realize the economy's really bad and that they're losing business. So they can't act too much like savages, because then no one's going to want to visit.
No one's
going to want to visit there, and they're going to lose business on tourism. So they kind of want to kiss your ass a little bit.
Yeah.
I heard Jamaica is worse. It's like they want the business, so they're not going to really commit too much crime against Americans, because the government gets mad at them. They feel the economy, because they even say they're like, oh, the global recession, nothing's the same. They bring it up.
Hmm.
When you sit down and talk to them, yeah. They're schemers there. They know how to scheme. I gave them $100 for a dive. Because I went diving, and they said, oh, you know, the trip was maxed out. Tell them you're just riding, and don't worry, you're going to dive. So they said, where's your receipt? I'm like, I don't have one. I said, I'm just riding. So that ride alone was $50. They pocketed the other $50. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so they try to scam the tourists.
They scam, yeah. So I said, listen, I'm from New York, and I'm 10 steps ahead of you. What? And then they blame each other. She has the money. No, he has the money. She, you know. So, look, I don't care where I have the money. I was like, but I know this was $50. I was like, and you kept an extra 50.
I mean, what the hell kind of cockamamie vacation did you go on? That sounds like more stress than just staying home and going to, like, Long Beach and just hanging out on the beach. You might as well have just rented a house on Fire Island for the weekend.
I had a great time. I dove. I did deep sea diving and stuff like that. And I'm two classes away from becoming a certified diver. Right now, I could only go 15 feet. So.
Oh, so there's a reason to become certified. Okay.
Yeah. You go deeper into, you know, other waters, you know, with sharks and stuff. I know you're going to think I'm crazy.
So you want to go swimming with the sharks?
Well, in certain tanks, you know, you're protected by the steel tanks that they take you down in, so the sharks can't get you. Anyway, the highlight of the vacation was the Miss Universe pageant.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know it was there.
I'm sorry, I'm chewing ice. Go ahead.
And I've spoken to a couple of contestants. And
did you get to speak to Miss Venezuela?
No. I spoke to Miss Guatemala.
Oh, how
really cute. She's short. She said, you know, it was a really good experience, but I was naive. I didn't realize they took advantage of me.
How?
She goes, they would take us to all these places, and we would hang out with all these different kinds of people. You know, the English isn't really that, you know, it's hard to follow. She said, but one day, one guy turned around to me and goes, you know, I had a good time, but I had to pay $7,000 to hang out with you. She said, you know, I felt like a prostitute. It was like a business. Like, they had all these wealthy men pay to hang out with these women. and they took all the money.
So who was getting that money? Donald Trump?
I don't know.
Because he owns Miss Universe.
I know. And these girls, they don't know any better. It's a big deal for them to be in this pageant. They pump them up. First of all, it's all politics. You have to pay $2,000 to enter the pageant. A lot of it was politics. Dominican Republic or Australia should have won. And she said that a lot of the points, you know, when they ask them questions.
Yeah.
And you're tallied. Like, none of that was taken into consideration. Questions that they ask them, how do you feel about wearing a swimsuit? And those answers were scored.
Yeah.
And Dominican Republic answered beautifully. And Miss Venezuela, she made no sense. she didn't make any sense. She didn't even answer the question. She went around it. Like, a couple of people went around it, you know.
You're right. Miss Dominican Republic, how do you feel about burkas? Blah, blah, blah. And then you go to Miss Venezuela. Miss Venezuela, we're going to tackle some tough issues with you today. What's your favorite color? Red or blue?
Well, I think it's very important to pick a color that's your favorite. And this pageant has given me such a great opportunity to experience the different colors of the universe. And I am so grateful and happy. Thank you.
Yeah, just a lot of blah, blah, blah-de blah.
Yeah, she didn't pick a fucking color, you know? No, I just thought it was amazing how they were making money off these people.
Mm.
And they had no clue until the very end.
Anything in the beauty industry or the sex industry, you know, anything involving women and exploiting their, you know, what they look like or that kind of thing, anything that involves that, you know, the men are always whoring, pimping them out in one way or another. Just like in the strip clubs, the girls, they pay a couple hundred dollars just to strip in the club. And then at the end of the night, they have to tip the DJ, the bartender, the waitress.
Mm-hmm.
They have to tip everybody. Like, what the fuck kind of bullshit is that? Why? So, and the DJ would make $1,500, $2,000 a night off of being tipped. If there's 75 girls in there that night and they all have to give him $50... Yeah, DJs would make about $3,500, $3,000. They would make just as much as the strippers, like in the higher end clubs out here.
That's how the club owners make the money, because they aren't paying the staff. They have the girls pay the staff.
Right, the girls are paying the staff.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. So what else happened? Anything besides Miss Venezuela? According to Miss Venezuela, there's no more glass ceiling. That's what you said. There's no more glass ceiling for women.
Oh, God.
What are you going to do? Like, you know, I'm not even going to pick on Miss Venezuela, seriously. Was there anyone there from Transylvania?
I don't know. I was surprised Kosovo made it so far. Let me tell you something, that hair was waving hi to everyone. It was greeting the whole audience. How could she get that far? How could she get that far with that hair? No one could forget that.
Well, maybe the KLA scared the shit out of her. Kosovo Liberation Army?
Yes.
Maybe they scared the shit out of her. They said, you better win. A lot of people from Kosovo, they don't like Serbians because of that whole war. You know how...
A lot of people don't like Kosovo because of the hairdo she was rocking.
How Billary went into Serbia because they were standing up to the extremists, and we bombed them back into the 13th century. What they did to Serbia, I'll never forget. Go ahead. I'll never forget Billary for that. Go ahead. Her winning a second time is political. Don't you worry about that. Venezuela, they're obsessed with beauty. And it's very important for them to win contests like that, the same way it is for Russia to be competitive with the Olympics and all that kind of stuff. Anything that Trump is involved in is political.
I wonder if he was pimping the girls, if he got the money, charging $7,000 for these men, these wealthy men, to hang out with these women.
Who knows? Huh? Who knows what else happened? They probably promised them, I'll make you win if you tickle my scrotum. If you stick your finger in my ass and tickle my scrotum, I'll give you a tiara.
Yeah.
These poor young girls, they don't know what their ass from their elbow.
Can we talk about Trump's yellow hair, though? Can I mention in person? I couldn't believe how yellow it is. It looks like someone spray painted it. He's really a tall, tall guy.
Trump was very good looking when he was young. Something happened to him as he got older and more greedy. Something happened to his face. Maybe he puts that botulism in his face.
I think he does.
Because now he's starting to look like Nancy Pelosi. And Joe Biden. I think they all go to the same botulism doctor.
I think so, too. Do you think they all have the same hairdresser?
Well, we need to find Kosovo's hairdresser.
Oh, my God. I was gambling, and Jay-Z and Beyonce were across from me.
At the same table?
Different table, like a table away from me.
So you saw Beyonce?
She's stunning, gorgeous. I love her. I've seen her a couple of times in person, and she just seems to get more and more beautiful.
Yeah.
I love her. I was so, like, you know,
starstruck.
A little stuck.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I lost all my money.
Because you took one look at Beyonce?
I was so busy looking at Beyonce and Jay-Z.
How about that Bahamas water?
Oh, my God.
It's like a blue. It's so blue, it looks like a gem. When it's blue, it's blue. When it's green, it's green. I mean, it looks like an actual turquoise when you look at it. Turquoise.
And it's so clean. Yeah, it was turquoise.
And it's
so
like
clean.
The blue is like sapphire blue.
Yeah, and then coming back here to New York and going in the beach, you want to scream.
Oh, my God, it's like sewer water.
Who wants to go to the beaches here?
Ugh, you think I go to the beach here?
No.
Boop.
And then everyone's like, oh, you could go to Montauk and Long Island. And it's not the same.
Well, you know, like Robert Moses is really nice. Some of the beaches are okay if you go far out enough.
But yeah, it's if you nothing, go to the Hamptons or if you go to, you know.
It's still nothing like going to the beach in the Caribbean. After you go to the beach in the Caribbean, you can't really. Even, you know, Florida water looks like ass next to the Bahamas water.
Yeah. It looks like my crack.
Yeah, it looks like one big toilet.
It does, and it's funny because I'm used to spending summers like in Puerto Rico or here or there, and I can't seem to enjoy myself here in New York beaches, never.
Who can with these people blowing snot rockets on the floor, on the sand floor? The last time I went to, oh my God, this girl that I was with, she forced me to go to the beach. In Brooklyn. Oh my God, she was so dead set that I had to go to this beach. She grew up on the beach. This is where she grew up. And she wanted me to see the beach. I didn't want to go to the beach because I know that I skeeve the beach, especially in fucking New York City. I mean, give me a break. It meant everything in the universe for me to go and see this goddamn beach where she grew up. Ah, da, da. But what's that beach that next to Coney Island?
Brighton.
My skin was crawling the entire time I was there. And then this guy walked by, and he was just walking, and he just looked like a dirtbag. And he blew a snot rocket into the sand like it was nothing, you know?
Oh, my God.
Like it was nothing. I mean, like, just casual. And you could tell how filthy. I mean, is it my imagination, or is that beach the filthiest thing you've ever seen in your life?
Yeah, you feel like you're walking on dirt.
Yeah, it's not sand, it's dirt.
Yeah, dirt. It's gross.
Oh, God, I spent the whole day on that beach, and she was happy as a pig in shit that I went to that to stay in that grotesque beach. Oh, my God, she was so happy she gave me sex for hours after that. She was so thrilled. Oh, God, it was awful sex. It was terrible. It wasn't even good.
You were too busy picturing her on the beach.
I was too busy scratching myself. You know, when you're with a woman and everything that makes her thrilled to shit's happy, that makes you miserable, that's when you know you're not a match. That's when you know you're headed for Troublesville.
Right, right.
When the things that make her glowingly happy make you want to hang yourself with a chain.
I remember once my ex wanted to go golfing, and we went.
Well, at least you don't have to make yourself filthy for something like that. But you're not going to get me walking all over some fucking field all goddamn day long.
Yeah, I wanted to, you know, ride the cart all day.
Oh, yeah, that I would do.
Yeah, but you can't do that. I got in trouble because they say that I was distracting the other golfers.
And you weren't allowed to do that?
Yeah, they said I wasn't allowed to do it. They said it's distracting. You're only allowed to do it. Take it from hole to hole. Now that's really boring.
Yeah, but knowing
every time she wanted to play golf.
Oh my god. When they have their things and then they want to drag you into their shit. Oh god.
What else?
Let's say, like, when they want to go see a fucking annoying movie.
Yes! I don't go! I've learned not to go anymore!
Right, and then you feel bad because, you know, you don't want to not go with her. And then it's like, you know, she's going to have to find somebody else to go see her shitty, stupid movies with. And then how about when they're not interested in the movies you want to go see and then they act annoying the whole time? Stay home.
Yeah.
Go do something else.
You know what I do?
What?
One time I went and I saw the movie I wanted to see, and she stayed and watched her movie, and I stayed and watched mine.
Yeah, that's when you do when you're, like, old married.
Yeah.
You can kind of do that and get away with it, but not when you're, like, you just started seeing someone. That's really rude.
That's really fucking rude. Oh, what happened to your tape? She's watching Saw 3.
Yeah, and the other one's watching Princess Diaries. Let me tell you something. I watched Princess Diaries with my niece tonight, part 2. What a good movie. Let me tell you, those Princess Diaries have such a good message. There's women who are the focal point of the movie, and they're in powerful positions. You know, they're queens, and there's a very feminist message in it. Maybe it was just the part 2. I didn't see part 1 and part 3.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, you know, sequels to this movie, but
right.
The part 2 one had a very feminist message where she, you know, she didn't want to be married and that was mm-hmm. it. And she said, I don't want to be married and I can still be queen. And I was like, what a great message this was, wasn't it?
What did she say?
Yeah, she has the movie at home anyway.
But what did she say?
I was
say?
Like, well, I really like this movie. Well, I really like it. I kept saying that, you mm-hmm. know. Yeah, so that, you know, she gets some positive reinforcement, you know. What are you going to do? Yeah. You try to be as a little bit of positive influence as possible, you know. What else? How about when your girlfriend likes to eat annoying food that you hate?
Oh, when you're forced to go out to dinner with them?
Yeah, to go to a stupid restaurant that you can't stand and it's a dump. And then they force you that they want to go eat there. Because they have a disgusting diet and they want to eat their disgusting food. How about when you have a girlfriend and she's so picky with food?
No, I don't eat this. I don't eat that. I don't eat that. No, I can't go there because they don't have this on the menu.
I was fortunate. I haven't had that experience in a while.
I've had friends who were that annoying, but I haven't dated.
Yeah, somebody. Friends.
Yeah.
That's just as annoying. Friends, girlfriends.
Yeah, what else?
The food.
How about when you meet a woman and she's got like 5 dogs and 2 cats? 5 dogs... 2 cats, a parakeet, a ferret, a wild animal that she's taking care of out in the backyard.
Yeah.
Like a squirrel that she feeds every morning. You know, when they're like obsessed.
You know, it's true because lesbians have these things, I guess because a lot of them don't have kids, that they get obsessed with their pets or with animals.
Or like trees. I'm giving myself a headache. Wait. What else? How about when the bitch wants to watch something on the TV that you can't stand, like a stupid movie, like that they watch 24, or these stupid shows, and you have to be forced to watch the stupid TV, because that's what they find entertaining, is watching 24, and then they know the storyline, they know all the people, they know the names.
And then you have a schmuck that gets sucked in, and now you know just as much as them.
Yeah, and I know that there's somebody there named Jack Bauer.
Yeah, that's a form of codependency, too.
That they force you to watch their stupid shows?
Well, and then you become part of it, and then you actually like it, because you're doing things for them.
Yeah, I guess there's a fine line between doing things for them and being, you know, a codependent ass.
You know, the weaker one, they follow the dominant one.
Yeah, right, and then when they break up, they're like, hey, wait, I never liked watching baseball.
Yeah. And then, I never liked eating hot dogs, but we would go and eat hot dogs every Friday night. They conform.
Yes, to their, right. How about when you have a girlfriend and you ask her, what do you want to do? And then she says, I don't know, whatever you want.
I hate that.
Have an opinion, goddammit. Have an opinion, goddammit.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Decision.
Oh, my God. And then I dated someone who I didn't realize then that I was dating her purely for physical reasons. I didn't realize that. I kind of was fooling myself, pretending that I really liked her when I really was just my hormones. You know, I fooled myself into thinking, oh, I really like her person. And I remember we were having a conversation and we were saying something and it had to do with something, you know, occasionally this stuff does come up in conversation. It was about how a woman was being degraded or something. And she was totally silent through the whole conversation. And then my friend who was with us, we were in my apartment, my friend was like, how do you feel about that? Does that, you know? And she was like, I don't know.
How do you feel about it?
Like, she had no feeling. Like, it was, the conversation was so alien to her.
And she didn't relate to anything.
Yeah.
How about when it's time for the holidays and it's like they always get their way?
And then you have to go and hang out with their annoying families.
Yeah, my poor girlfriends, because I dragged them a little bit to my functions and I would get annoyed when they didn't want to go. But now I understand. I know better now.
Yeah, you know, you could each go to your own, wherever you want to go.
Right, right.
What is, how about when they have a certain style for how they want the apartment to look or the house to look, and you have completely different tastes, and then you have to compromise and put an ugly, ugly picture up that they like, that's so ugly and stupid that you want to spit on it every time you see it. You cannot believe that you're living in a house with the most disgusting artwork that has nothing to do with you, and you hate them, and you hate their guts.
What do you do?
What do you do? You have to put up with that disgusting artwork that they like?
You have to.
That their artwork is so depressing that it makes you want to hang yourself? That you want to commit, seppuku? You want to disembowel yourself every time you see it? You want to commit Harry Carey every time you see it? What do you do? It's your house. And then you have to live with their disgusting taste. How about when they listen to music that you can't stand? I dated a girlfriend, and every time I got in her car, she's blasting the most horrifying rap. But not even like rap. Like, she was listening to the windows, to the wall. You know, like blasting. I'm saying, am I really dating somebody who enjoys this?
What do you do? To trade off.
How about when
you can choose your battles?
How about when she splashes water all over the sink? You're not supposed to slap her? You're not supposed to slap her up? How about when they buy sheets that are so ugly? So ugly. And every time you go to bed at night, you have bad dreams.
You feel like the sheets are choking you at night.
Because the sheets are so ugly, you know?
You have nightmares.
And then you wake up startled. Because it's like am I living a nightmare every time you look at those sheets? You know?
Mom, you know what she did once? Joe came home with sheets, I think, mm-hmm. or like this new bedding. She threw it out.
So, well, that lets you know who's wearing the pants in that relationship.
She threw it out.
You see, so we're not the only ones.
You're right, though. That comes down. You're with the wrong person if everything has to be a compromise.
At some point, you just have to beat the shit out of them.
Yeah.
How about when they want to sleep with a light on, you know, like a very big light, and maybe you don't?
Right.
What do? You beat the shit out of her. You beat the shit out of her. That's what you do.
You beat your wife.
You get on top of her and you choke her.
You get a new one, you trade them in. Oh my God, that was so funny, Sandy.
Which one?
You go to bed in those sheets.
Or how about when you go to the bookstore and they want to leave before you do? You just got started.
Or shopping.
And they're done. What do you mean?
And then you'd be worried about them conforming to their time.
For you, this conversation seems to be about conforming.
Why did I do that?
I don't know.
Maybe I have issues.
Yeah, where you felt like somebody was trying to smother you to death and change
you?
Yeah. They always try to change you. They never not want to try to change you. That's why when there's people in a relationship together, it's like they might as well be the same person, especially like if you have a friend. Like, listening to the two of them talk, it's like just let one speak for the both of you because you're both the same person.
Yeah, and then you don't even recognize your friend anymore.
You don't recognize your friend anymore. They both become the same person. Who needs two? We only need one. Because you do conform to each other. Unless there's a conscious effort not to. Which you find very rarely with lesbians anyway.
I've been trying.
Yeah, you've been much better.
I've been much better, much more aware. Because then you feel it and you don't start relating to your friends. You're not the same person who your friends were with. You're not the same person.
Well, because now you've become your girlfriend. And your girlfriend wasn't friends with your friends. You were. But now, you're not you anymore. You're your girlfriend. You've become a morphed version of your girlfriend. So,
a clone.
Yeah, you've become clones of each other. How do you know that your girlfriend would pick your friends as a friend? She may not, but now that you're your girlfriend...
They don't want you to have friends.
Well, maybe it's not that they don't want the other to have friends. It's that now they are the same person. And maybe that person that they're with wouldn't have picked their friends that their girlfriend has. Maybe now you don't want your own friends.
You chased away your friends. Your friends don't want to be around you because they don't recognize who you are.
Well, you can tell when one of your friends starts acting like a zombie.
I've had friends like that. And what happens to them is that they disappear. They don't go out. They make excuses. I'm busy. I'm working all the time. All of a sudden, they don't have time for you.
That's true, but when somebody starts dating and they start getting hot and heavy, like for the first 6 months, I kind of give them that leeway that, you know, I probably won't hear from them as often because they're in that period where they're nestling and doing all that stuff. So, you know, eventually you come out of that little utopia that you're in and you do start finding your friends again.
Cocoon. You know what, though? I never got like that. So lost. Maybe for like a couple of weeks that you just like drop your friends and you're all up your girlfriend's ass.
How about when you're with a girlfriend who's on a perpetual diet for her whole life? Or when you're with someone, like, and here's a perfect example of people who just always have this obsession that they think they're fat. Kim Kardashian, that she went on this whole workout thing and she lost like 15, 20 pounds. Where did Kim Kardashian need to lose any weight?
She looked so good.
She looked very different in this fitness magazine that I saw her in. You know, like this obsession that they always think they're fat, you know, so they're always on a fucking diet and then they're always cranky and then their brain function is like nothing. When you don't eat, you lose brain function and you don't realize that you do, but you do.
Yeah, it's
true. When you don't eat right, you do. Our food is already depleted of the nutrients.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about the Kardashians. Like, they're naturally sick. So they're going to struggle with the food thing. You know, they're being scrutinized. Like, remember Kim, like, they would make comments about her body, her butt's fake, you know, her thighs, she has cellulite. Like, she's a beautiful shape. But look what they do. They force her to not eat.
You know,
on these diets.
And then you wonder why she's like, you know, she's got this look in her eye. She looks kind of like a mannequin.
I have a new workout, and I lost like 20 pounds, and I have a new workout.
I didn't eat today. That's a new workout.
Because I didn't eat today, yesterday, or all of March. Every time I eat, I get a colonic for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I find her more unappealing now that she's lost weight.
Yeah, people like that can't be skinny. They don't look good. They look
right.
Like meat on them.
Yeah, and you know what I was thinking? Is here is the beginning of her eating disorder.
I was just going to say that, like a Lindsay.
Yeah. Lindsay got some puffed up lips. What, you see that?
No.
She got some.
But Lindsay had such a cute shape, too, before all this, remember?
Lindsay had a beautiful shape. Yeah, she did. I don't know what happened to her now. But did you see she got some like collagen in her lips or something?
Mm.
She's starting to get that doll look, the way they all get at it. They look like lion dolls.
Right.
All those people that get plastic surgery. They look like a cross between a lion and a Christmas doll. Like a Santa doll. They start to look like a combination between like a My Little Pony. They look like a My Little Pony and Barney. it's a very distinct look that you know that they got plastic surgery. It's really scary because they really are like Stepford Wives, you know? It's scary when you see that they start to look like Martians.
Yeah, and I feel like Kim Kardashian, she did something to her face. Because sometimes I look at her on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Cheekbones, like...
Maybe she's getting that that botulism plugged into her face already. Who knows? She thought she was fat. But you know what is a magazine? I can't remember what it was, but some magazine referred to her as plus size. That threw her for a loop. And then she went on this, I'm working out craze. I'm into fitness.
What about Jessica Simpson that she lost all that weight after she was out of a relationship?
Poor thing. What they do to that poor girl. Why don't they leave her alone?
She got so heavy and then she's lost 20 pounds, I think, in 2 weeks or something.
Poor thing.
I wonder what she did. She did the Kim Kardashian diet.
No, she did the face in the toilet diet.
Oh, God.
She did the finger down the throat diet.
She did the no eat and jog diet. They claim that they jog everything away.
She did the I'm starving Marvin diet. She did the I'm fucking hungry as hell diet.
I missed you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
If you feel trapped, if you feel you have no one to turn to, if you've been feeling down for a while, it's important to talk to someone. You can talk to someone right now by calling the Lifeline. Help is available at any time of the day or night, and it's completely free and confidential. Please call 1-800-273-TALK. That number once again is 1-800-273-8255.
So, thanks for tuning in. I wanted to say thank you very much to some repeat donors to this program. And I have to tell you, it's really humbling. I mean, it's almost, it's like, you know, you want the donations, but then when they come, it's like, oh my God, you know, it really hits you, you know, right through the heart. So I just want to say thank you very much to the professor donated again. I will just call her Professor K or Special K. And Hadass, who has donated to this program repeatedly, and I can't tell you how helpful it is, not only financially, but it's also, it's a moral boost because it's support and it's tangible support, but it's also, do I sound annoying right now? Because sometimes when I talk, my niece like rolls her eyes. And so when she rolls her eyes, that's when I know to stop. And then at that point, she's already nauseated by me. So I try to stop before I get too nauseating. But sometimes I'm just syrupy and nauseating. It's, you know, you take me for the good and the bad. You take people for the good and the bad, you know? Thank you so much, though. Honestly, I really, it does help. Believe me, it really does help. So again, a heartfelt thank you to Darling Hadass, who is from Israel, and Professor K. I talk slow when I'm tired because I'm ODing on MSG right now. And, yeah, so I'm going to go now. If you want to find us, you can get us on MySpace at The Lesbian Mafia Cast. You can get us on Twitter at The Lesbian Mafia. If you would like to call in and leave a voicemail or a comment or a question, you could be played on the show. That number is 206-984-4093. If you would like to listen to this program on your telephone, you can dial 651-925-1610. We're on the Facebook. Have no idea how to get there. Again, thank you very much for the donations. My heart is full, and we will be back hopefully sometime soon. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon. Bye. Bye. Bye-bye.